Welcome to Package, the official podcast of the Liquor Stores Association of Western Australia. Your host today, Peter Kapsanis.
Hello again, great to have your company. Well, what a weekend. State election 2021. The WA Labor Party is poised to win 50 or more seats in the lower house in what is the most emphatic victory in the party's political history. To help us take stock of it all, we're joined by Channel 9 Perth's political editor, Gary Adsed. Gary, welcome to Packaged.
Thanks for having me.
The state election, I have no words other than wow. In all your years of covering Australian politics, what's your take on it?
That's my seventh state election, and wow is a good word. but obviously, what we saw there was the West Australian community voting in an emphatic way, and it's all going to come down to the reasons why. But quite clearly, in the last year or so, we've been through a pandemic, and as far as the voting public was concerned, they probably felt like they had something to reward a government for. And that doesn't normally happen. There was something front and centre in the minds of people when they went into the polling booths or when they did their pre-polling that said, I'm going to reward the government for what they've done and the way that they've steered us through that. That seems to be emphatic. Of course, underlying all that will be those people who would normally vote Liberal that said they simply do not deserve our vote.
So you think the hard border policy and the whole way that COVID-19 was managed really struck a chord with the voting public?
I have absolutely no doubt, and I say that because I know rusted-on Liberal voters who changed their vote purely for that reason. I have absolutely no doubt about that. That's not me letting the Liberal Party off the hook because I think they had some big issues that they need to address as well. But quite clearly, there was something front and center of everybody's mind. Let's be honest about this. The last year, there's only been one issue, one, and that has been pandemic management and how we're going to get through it. It has been the talking point everywhere. If you managed to get to a barbecue where there were more than 20 people, that's what you were talking about. If you had friends over for a drink, that's what you were talking about. If you're in the pub, that's what you were talking about. Pandemic, pandemic, pandemic. And so at the end of the day, people had something that they could grab hold of, understand, comprehend, feel personally about, and go into a polling booth and vote in favour of the Labor government for the way that they managed it. Now, as I said, I'm not letting the Liberals off the hook because I think they did nothing for 4 years. Mm. And then they, on the back of a pandemic, they had a bigger problem, but they did not prosecute their campaign very well.
So, but did they have the cut through? Did they have the ability to penetrate through to the market in their messaging and their narrative? I mean, did they just sit on their hands?
What they did for certainly the first 2 years to 3 years after losing in 2017 was nothing. They did nothing. As a political journalist, I'm telling you, we had no idea what the opposition was up to in terms of policy, in terms of speaking to the media to try and sort of get their narrative through. They remained shell-shocked about the 2017 loss for way too long. There were way too many passengers in the opposition benches who didn't want to do any work, who hadn't got over the fact that they'd lost the trappings of a ministerial office. And when you then add in a situation that polarises people, the pandemic, and it gets people thinking about their government more than they ever normally would, then the lids were lost. And, of course, they tried to change the leader, but it just wasn't enough, and the way they went about it just didn't cut through.
Do you think Zach Kirkup conceding that Mark McGowan would win the election 2 weeks out before voting day, was that the wrong or dumb move?
I believe it was the wrong move. There are ways that you can go about telling the community that your vote is more important than ever because we understand that this government's done extremely well through the pandemic. We understand all that, but you now have to look beyond it and think of the bigger picture and where democracy looks like going. Yeah, they had to prosecute that message without saying, we give up. And unfortunately, the way that it came out was immediately, we give up, we won't win, but just do us a favour, will you?
Yeah.
And get enough of our, just please, just give us enough MPs back so that we don't look too silly. That's what they were basically saying. It didn't cut through. And of course, well, then you get into some of the policy issues they were raising, and it was just a debacle.
So it looks like Labor will take control of both houses in Parliament. Should we be concerned?
Concerned? Look, I mean, concern's a big word. I've just been, you know, I was just with the Premier not long ago, and he says, what's the point of having a democracy if then you criticise the outcome of it? You know, we saw people vote. People decided. Now, what the concern is, though, is that without a strong opposition, without any opposition pretty much, you know, you are in a situation where a government may stretch things and take things to a point that they normally would never have done because they knew they would have got blocked in the upper house and they didn't want to have the debate. They didn't want to go through the fight. There's not going to be much of a fight now. So there will be certain things that might come up during the first, couple of years of this government as they head towards 2025 that they want to see done, that a Labor ideology wants to see done. Mm. And it's going to be up to the Premier in terms of how he keeps a lid on all those expectations and all those people that say, right, this is our chance to do this or this is our chance to do that. He says, I will not become an arrogant leader despite this emphatic result.
Do you believe that?
Well, look, I mean, we'll watch it. We journalists see it. We can tell when it's happening. I mean, there were moments of it during the campaign where there was a bit too much hubris. But look, we'll see it. We'll watch it. We'll be there to ask the questions. We'll be there to hold them to account because heaven knows that there won't be too many opposition MPs doing that.
Mm. Our liquor store members and the LSA has had a good working relationship with the McGowan government over the last few years.
Yep.
The government's rolled out the banned drinkers register, which has been a really important policy and project in the Pilbara, which has gotten off to a flying start. It's due to be rolled out in the Kimberley in May, and they also announced a pre-election pledge if they'd retain government to roll it out in Kalgoorlie and the wider goldfields later this year. A lot of positive results from the trial in the Pilbara, as I mentioned. Is there a danger where now the government has all this power that it could possibly go back on its word?
There's always a danger, yes. But look, I suppose I'm going to say this. I think the Premier is pragmatic enough, and I certainly know that he's had people around him in his his office that have kept him in that pragmatic mindset. I mean, this is a guy who has now. I mean, Peter, let me put it bluntly: we are talking about Netherlands falling to the Labor Party.
Mm.
You know, this is a guy who's cut through with his pragmatism to appeal to Liberal, conservatives, and diehard working class Labor people all in one go. I think he would realise how foolish it would be to take all that and rip it up because, well, we did this then, but actually we don't really believe in it, so we're going to wind it back. That sort of stuff will still be very transparent. We'll see it happening. They will get called to account for it. So I'd be very surprised If you say that, you know, the modelling so far and the results is going well, that he would just take it and rip it up because, you know, there were actually people in the background that didn't want it, and now that they're allowed a voice in terms of the backbench, you know, I'm a bit scared. I think this is a Premier with enormous power within his own party as well to see things through.
What are you hearing on the ground, Gary, in terms of ministerial portfolios? Paul Papalia is our relevant minister. He holds small business and tourism. Are you hearing any changes in those areas for Paul Papalia, or are you hearing in terms of any other changes or newcomers to the cabinet fold?
Oh, yeah. Look, there's rumours are rife with that. one thing I did check, and that is that constitutionally he will not expand the cabinet. I sort of had a view that he might try and get it to 21. It had happened previously. It's at 17, but I had a view that he may try and take that cabinet to 21, given the enormous amount of MPs he's got to choose from. But look, in terms of room, I'll cut to the chase. Paul Papalia, there is some speculation that he will leave that portfolio, those portfolios, and go to corrective services.
Right.
Fran Logan, obviously, outgoing and gone. There is talk, of course, that he will bring and will have, without a doubt, some captain's picks to make here. Regardless of the factional situation within the Labor Party, this is a Premier now who is all-powerful and no one can deny him his rights to make some choices. So Reece Whitby's got to be on the list. There's talk of Reece Whitby being police minister. You're looking at John Carey being rewarded. Now, maybe that is the portfolios that you just discussed with me then. Tourism, maybe wagering and gaming as well. But John Carey's certainly on the list. Amber Jade Sanderson, who's been the parliamentary secretary for the Premier. She is definitely in the mix for portfolios as well. Then you've got a situation where there's talk that Michelle Roberts wants to be the speaker. So she's currently the police minister and emergency services minister, that she might go off and become the speaker. And likewise, David Templeman, who's local government, is also, we understand, putting his hand up for the speaker's role. So you can expect, and it's probably going to happen this week, mate. But they're hoping to swear in the cabinet by Thursday. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the background, I know.
I've also heard Tony Booty could be in the running for sport. Is that that been on your radar?
Yeah, Tony Booty's name's come up. And there's an interesting backstory there for people that want me to bore them about politics. But, of course, you know, previously Tony Booty was seen as one of those people that supported that Stephen Smith, that crazy 2017 push by the former federal minister Stephen Smith to wrest power from Mark McGowan ahead of that 2017 election. It was a bizarre leadership challenge. It went nowhere, but certain people were seen to be supporting that. Tony Booty's name has been mentioned, so whether that still causes him issues at this point in time, he's a good character, a lawyer, more than capable. So, yes, his name's out there too.
Lastly, before we wrap it up, Gary, your job and the job of other journalists across WA and Perth, does it become harder now because the McGowan Labor spin machine is going to be more greater and effective than ever?
Yeah, no, it does become harder. There's no doubt about that. It becomes much more difficult. Look, it wasn't easy in the last 4 years because, as I said, apart from two or three people within that opposition actually doing some work, getting on the phone, leading you into things that might be interesting, that just wasn't happening, to be blunt. So if you look at a Liberal Party that's going to lick its wounds for a while, that's going to be staring in the mirror trying to figure out how it went so badly wrong, then they're going to be pretty ineffective in terms of holding government to account because they need to actually hold themselves to account. They need to have a damn good look at themselves on many levels, pre-selection and other levels, to sort out how to go forward to 2025 with a credible opposition. There won't be. I mean, there'll be three, let's be blunt. So they've got to work with the Nationals, whether they like it or not. We've already heard this morning from a Liberal MP who says no appetite to work with the Nationals. We're poles apart. And they are. Well, that's just, if that's the beginning of it, then it's also the end of it. So that's a worry. So yeah, for journalists' point of view, we don't have the resources, if you like, of an opposition because the limited resources that opposition will have itself. So yeah, that does make it hard for journalists around the state.
Gary, thank you for your insight. We look, I guess we'll just have to ponder on what will happen and can happen over the next 4 years. And thanks for being a guest on Package, and hopefully you can be a regular guest as the weeks and months roll on during the course of 2021.
No problem. Thanks, Pete.